Well, good morning, Columbia United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're here today for worship. My name is Matt Skillen. I'll be serving as your, preaching pastor this morning in place of Pastor Tom, who, of course, is away this morning. I'm so blessed and happy to be a part of your community this morning, and I just invite you now into a time of worship. We have a couple of announcements that we wanted to make sure that we communicated to you. First and foremost, the Easter flower orders are due next week. Those order forms can be found on the credenza in the back. All the information as far as selection and pricing are there. We also have an Easter egg order sheet that is in the gathering space near the front of the church. They're in Easter-colored paper, so you can't miss them. Again, information is provided on cost and how much at those sign-up sheets. As we prepare for Easter, and Easter is coming, friends, let us prepare our hearts for what Jesus Christ would have us hear, would have us know, and what would have us do. Would you join me now for a moment of prayer as we open up our worship service? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. Though it may be cloudy and rainy outside, the light of Christ shines brightly in all of us. May you be with us now as we enter into a time to lift up your name, to praise the great work that you're doing in our lives and in the lives of so many others. It seems we pray in your name. Amen. Would you now join us for a song of Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing?
With me as we sing Majesty two times and My Tribute two times. Majesty, worship is majesty. To his own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Please be seated.
Good morning. The scripture today is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 39 to 42, if you'd like to follow along. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. May we write it on our hearts and carry it through the week. Amen.
You may stay seated as we sing, "Take Time to Be Holy." God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide. Run not before Him, whatever betide. in His Word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.
As we continue our worship this morning, we invite representatives from the PPR committee to come forward.
On behalf of PPRC and the Columbia United Methodist family, Joey wanted to thank you for the over 3 years that you have dedicated to the lives of the kids and youth here at Columbia United Methodist and the Columbia area. We want to wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors, and thank you so much for all you've done.
Thank you.
Can you just say a prayer for you?
Sure.
For your future endeavors.
Well, Joe, we don't know each other very well. In fact, I think we just met.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about what God has sent you forth on, and what your calling might be looking like as you move forward?
Well, right now, I've been working actually three jobs for the last 2+ years.
Okay.
So right now I'm trying to step back, and I've just been going crazy. So it's one of those things that, you know, get renewed, refreshed.
Then
type of deal.
Let us enter in a time of prayer and consecrate this time, your ministry and your mission, as you enter into a time of Sabbath and rest and recalibration. Amen. Let's do that. Would you join me in prayer? And if you're joining us in house today, there is a tradition of laying of hands, given our conditions. If you wouldn't mind just reaching out a hand in support as we pray for our brother Joe. Well, Heavenly Father, we enter into a time of prayer, and we thank you as we reflect on a ministry that Joe has so faithfully taken. And Lord, as we move into a new chapter, we pray that your healing, that your grace and your peace begin to wrap around him as he takes a moment to take a Sabbath breath. Lord, may Joe find inspiration. May he find engagement and affirmation in the weeks and months ahead. May you fill him with your Holy Spirit as he casts a vision for what you would have him do next. We thank you for his time and commitment to Columbia United Methodist Church, to the families and communities that were impacted by his immediate presence. And we pray that your presence follows him. These things we pray in your heavenly gracious name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Good luck, brother. Good to go? All right. Go ahead and roll that next slide for me, if you wouldn't mind. There we go. How about that? Well, good morning once again, everyone, to Columbia United Methodist Church. Whether you're in the house or you're joining us online on Facebook, we welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. May his grace and peace that surpasses all understanding be with you today. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Matt. I'm a pastor appointed currently at St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Elizabethtown. I'm also a professor at Elizabethtown College. And it is my joy and honor to be with you in worship today. If I look a little nervous, it is because this is the first time I've actually talked in front of real people inside a church in about 3.5 months. So thank you for inviting me to be a part of this today. Even at the college, I've been teaching to mostly screens. So, you know, hold on. I've got a lot of things to say to a group of people. Wherever you are, we know that that video might have illustrated something really important, being distracted. And I want to lean into that today. What distracts us? It might be technology, it might be something else. But as we think about that today, I'd like to enter into just a moment of prayer to lift up this time as we go into God's Word so that our hearts can really be focused and to tune in on what God might be saying to us today. Would you join me for just one moment of prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to read your Word. We ask now, Lord, that our hearts and ears and minds be open to what you would have us hear. Lord, I have nothing to say. You have everything to say. Amen. Well, today we're continuing a message series that I believe Pastor Tom started last week called Adventurous Living. And today I want us to focus on one simple theme that I'm going to refer back to several times, I think, throughout this message. And that is this. While we may be distracted by many, many things, we might fill our calendars and schedules up with a lot of different things. There's only one thing that is important. The presence of Christ in our lives. And today I hope to illustrate how this one thing can lead to what is possibly the most adventurous life possible. So I have a question for you today. What distracts you? What distracts you today? If you're having trouble trying to maybe identify the thing that seems to really distract you, you could maybe try asking the person sitting next to you. They'll probably tell you what distracts you. If you're watching this on Facebook, you could ask the person that you're sitting next to and maybe even type it into the chat below. Maybe name that thing that distracts you. I got to be honest. When we begin to identify what distracts us in our daily life, we might be surprised at what we find out. You know, if it's for me, I got to tell you, it's this little computer that's in my pocket. That's why I chose that video to start with today, because I think this is a present distraction in our daily lives. Let me give you another illustration on how far I'm going right now, trying to name this distraction in my life and maybe address it directly. And maybe you'll find this a little bit funny as I also try to maybe convince myself that what I did here was the smart thing to do. All right, check it out. So I recently upgraded my iPhone. It was time. My old one wasn't working very well, and I begrudgingly, you know, did the thing where, by the way, shopping's just impossible these days, but I figured out a way where I could upgrade my phone using the Apple delivery service. It was seamless and great, but I upgraded to the biggest iPhone they make, the iPhone 12 Max. Not because I necessarily needed the biggest iPhone. I mean, it is cool, but it's not because I needed the biggest one. It was because a friend of mine who was very concerned about how much time I was spending on my phone suggested that I get the big one because it's almost impossible to carry in your pocket. He said, you'll find that when you carry the biggest iPhone, which is effectively a small iPad, you'll end up leaving it on your desk or on your dresser when you're home, and it won't be in your pocket, and you won't be checking it all the time. And you know what? That guy was right. Apple, in their great wisdom, captures how much screen time you use a week. And I get this alert every Sunday morning at about 9 o'clock in the morning. I just got it now. And my screen time is down by half. What a remarkable thing. Now, I don't know if this is going to last, because maybe I'll just buy pants with bigger pockets. But if it does, what an interesting way to address a distraction in our lives. What distracts you today? What is distracting you today? You see, I think we are distracted by many things, as I started with. But there's only one thing that is important. That is, of course, the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. Maybe it's not technology that's distracting us. Maybe it's conventions, or maybe it's ambition. Earlier in my career, I was a classroom teacher in metropolitan Wichita, Kansas. I taught 7th and 8th grade language arts. Talk about the wild, wild west. They were a lot of fun, and I miss my middle school kids nearly every single day. Earlier in my career, though, I was a 22-year-old teacher trying to figure out where my life was going to be leading, and I watched with amazement, maybe even a little envious at times, to see all the other exciting things that the more tenured teachers were doing as part of their workday. They weren't just classroom teachers. For a season, I watched with admiration as some of them became coaches after the school day, leading young men and women in academic and athletic pursuits after the school day had ended. Later, I observed with some sense of professional curiosity as some of my peers were being elevated to department chairs, or they were taking on other special assignments, maybe to serve as instructional technology specialists. Then sometime later, I began to get a little restless as other colleagues were studying to earn their master's degrees and administration and taking on building principal roles. These lives I was watching seemed really exciting and far more adventurous than perhaps the life that I was leading. They had left the mundane, ordinary to do something adventurous, and I thought that is something that I wanted too. But what I ultimately found is that all this other work was distracting. Before I knew it, my schedule was filling up with all these other responsibilities that were, in fact, pulling me out of the preparations that were necessary to lead a great class with 7th and 8th graders in language arts. And they were pulling me away from relationships that were perhaps more important. I can remember at one point, one of the many responsibilities that I took on was the management of all of our performance spaces. I got a stipend to kind of use that theater minor that I picked up in college to be the technical director for all of the theaters in this large school district. There were 5 facilities that I was able to schedule and work on and build, and it was a lot of fun. But I can remember more than once, at the height of everything that was happening, spending the night at one of the schools because I had a late show on Friday night and an early one on Saturday morning, and it wasn't worth the time to drive home to sleep in my own bed. I think that was when I realized we'd arrived at a breaking point. Are you distracted? Are you distracted today? Well, if you have your Bible with you, or maybe you use a Bible app, we're going to take another look at Luke 10 that was just read as part of this worship service. We're going to dive a little deeper into this story and to see what we can learn about distraction and this one important thing that we really should be filling our lives with. If you've never committed to reading the Gospel of Luke, I really recommend it. Take some time to read this Gospel from start to finish. Maybe make it part of your daily Bible reading, or as often as you get to the Bible, bookmark Luke and come back and take a look at it. Because Luke is a really exciting Gospel to read. If you zoom out and look at Luke 10 for just a moment, this sliver of Gospel that we're going to be looking at today, the time that Jesus visited Mary and Martha's home, if you zoom out just within the 2 pages of the Bible that are present when you open up to this story, the story right before Jesus visiting Martha and Mary is the story of the Good Samaritan, a very common story that you know if you've spent any time in church. Immediately following this story with Martha and Mary is when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray and gives them the Lord's Prayer. Think about the amazing the amazing concentration of content just in those 3 stories alone. You got to ask yourself, I wonder what Luke, who many believe was a Gentile, who many believe was a physician, and came to know the gospel of Jesus Christ through the apostles or through the disciples that got to know Jesus directly. You got to wonder maybe he was trying to unpack, maybe what he was focusing on. Many people believe that as they read through the gospel of Luke that He was focusing on the ways that Jesus upended their culture, where he challenged conventional wisdom in an effort to recalibrate the people of God in their hearts so that they would leave behind the things that they thought were important, the priorities that they had made, to make God their priority once again. That is certainly an illustration that unfolds in this episode in the scripture in Luke 10 around verse 38 and 39 and 40 and 41. But let's take a look at that together here and see what we can find. Go ahead and next slide, please. We're going to take a look at the scripture as it's pulled from the NRSV. It says, "Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." Go ahead and hit the next one. "She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying." Next slide. "But Martha was," say it with me, "Martha was distracted," that's right, "by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.'" Next slide. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried,'" and that word one more time, say it with me, "distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." That's right. "Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." Now, I don't necessarily need you to raise your hand, so don't do that. But if you're watching here in the house today or you're watching on Facebook, you know from this story if you're a Martha or a Mary, right? I mean, think about it. Are you the type of person that can comfortably drop everything that you're doing, okay, and invest everything that you have, all your energy, all your patience, all your time, to focus on an unexpected guest who's coming into your home? Like, could you just drop everything, no matter how the house looks, no matter what kind of food you have in the fridge, could you drop everything and look directly and invest everything you have into that guest? Or are you like me? You know, normal people. Where you feel like you have to have everything perfect. All the furniture has to be perfectly appointed. Everything has to be dusted and swept. You got to make sure you have enough food. You got to make sure there's enough chairs for everybody. You get the picture, okay? I have to be honest. If I were to get home later today to our house in Mount Joy and my awesome, lovely wife were to tell me that we were having unexpected guests for Sunday dinner, I would go into machine mode. The vacuum cleaner would be out. We'd be making sure everything was ready to go. And, you know, I probably, if I'm being honest, I probably wouldn't stop even when the guests arrived, unless I made myself stop, because I would want everything to be just right. I've bragged about this about me, actually, to be able to work with efficiency, to keep a clean home, to be able to cook good meals. And I think sometimes the very thing that we are proud of, the very thing that we find is the best characteristics of our lived selves, our greatest strengths even, can distract us from what is important. What is most important? Christ's presence in our lives. So let's take a closer look at these two sisters and further explore their story. Next slide, please, if you have it up. In the presence of Jesus, Mary is present. In the presence of Jesus, Mary is present. We don't learn much about Mary in this text, but we know that she lives with her sister Martha in probably Martha's home. When Jesus arrives at this very home, it says in verse 39 that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. Mary was swept up in the moment. She was present in Jesus's presence. Now, have you noticed how difficult it is, even in our modern era, to be completely present with anyone at any time? I just opened my message with a story about a strategy that I'm trying to employ to put my phone down more often. Think about how novel that sounds. It turns out that being present maybe isn't a new challenge after all. What we don't know, but what we can probably imagine, is that Mary made an important decision to be present with Jesus instead of doing something else, something that was expected of her. Yeah, she probably knew that she was abandoning her sister to the kitchen and to the housework. But it was Jesus, right there, in their home. How could she refrain from being drawn up into every word that he was saying? In this story, there are two sisters. One is present, the other isn't. Being present is a choice. It takes effort, and it taxes other parts about us. It comes with a cost. But I think that's why it's important for presence to be prioritized. Now think about it. Are we prioritizing time with God or time with our social media feed? Are we prioritizing the throne of God in our lives or Game of Thrones on HBO? Are we prioritizing the perceptions of this world or the peace that surpasses all understanding and the grace of Christ that is so freely given? Are we present in the presence of God? Well, next slide, please. The other thing that we know is that Martha is distracted, but in her distraction, Jesus reveals a greater calling. Now, this is going to take a bit of time to unpack, so hang with me here. You see, in our story of two sisters, Martha is what I think I identify with the most. I'm the oldest of five children, and I think all firstborn children can relate to Martha's story. I mean, Martha is driven out of duty and responsibility and expectation. If she doesn't prepare the food, who else is going to do it? Am I right? When Martha, after working for what was probably hours, and at the peak of her exacerbation, she makes a direct appeal to Jesus about Mary's abdication of her duties as a woman in a house full of guests. Jesus takes this opportunity in front of everyone present to perhaps share a more important truth. And the truth is this. We all, no matter who we are, where we're from, what we've done, we all have a greater purpose than what we think we're here to do. In our congregation this morning and watching online, we have teachers and lawyers, maybe doctors and clerks and business people. There are those that have committed to service today who have committed their lives in service to others in law enforcement or in first response emergency care. Maybe you're sitting in the worship service today and you're viewing this message at home and you've reached this beautiful part of your life where your first career is being sunset and you're walking into a new transition. Maybe you're starting retirement or you've been retired for a number of years. And the curtain is going up on your second act in life. Whatever it is you think you are here to do on earth, God is calling you to a greater calling, something better. In every circumstance, good, bad, or indifferent, He is building experience, wisdom, and grit in you so that you can be a light for Christ in your communities and share the grace, the love, the peace, and the passion that comes with knowing who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for us. When Jesus singled out Mary as the one who had chosen the better part, He wasn't scolding Martha. Now, I believe, and I think several scholars who have studied the New Testament far more than I ever will, they look at this piece of Scripture and they say that what Jesus is doing is He's flipping the script on everything that these people would have known, including the social conventions of the time, so that God's people would be reoriented back to Him. It is well documented in Jesus' time that men and women were, of course, on different societal planes. Jesus, on several occasions, challenged these social conventions and lifted women up to new levels of recognition in their culture. And in this case, in the home of Martha and Mary, as well as with Mary Magdalene, the adulteress, and the countless other poor and sick and lame that Jesus poured His presence into throughout the biblical story, Jesus is pointing out something very important time and again, and there is only one thing that matters. And it has little to do with what the world thinks of you, or maybe even what you think of yourself. When in Christ's presence, we are leaning into the most adventurous life imaginable. I can remember being a little sheepish about my faith at different parts of my life because I didn't want others to judge me. I'd hear them say religion is old and religion is boring and religion is stuck up and it's not that accommodating or affirming to people. And you know what? A lot of what they say is right. Religion is old. And if that's all we were signing up for, and it is boring and it is trying, if that was all we were signing up for, I don't think that gets at it. A relationship with Jesus Christ, however, entering into the presence of God in our daily lives, that is worth signing up for. When we lean into the presence of God, when we seek His lordship over our lives, we will be challenged. This story in Luke's gospel is one of many illustrations in the Bible that shows Jesus just shows up unexpectedly. If you've ever had an encounter with God like this, you know you can very rarely, if ever, plan for it. You're not going to find an invite in your calendar for the time that God's going to just disrupt your life. You could be minding your own business, eating a quiet lunch in a very quiet cafeteria, when God finds you and He challenges you to think farther than you ever have before. To love more wildly than you ever have loved before. And to see more than you could ever think possible in your own life. The infinite nature of our God is so vast, we can't even conceive its boundaries. No matter where we go, who we are, or what we've done, the truth is God challenges us just as He challenges Martha in our story today. Secondly, when we lean into the presence of God, we are shaped. Through the challenging comes a shaping, you see. When Jesus approached Martha, He wasn't condemning her, He was shaping her. Martha was distracted by conventional wisdom and societal norms. And, you know, women were to be in the kitchen preparing the food and ensuring the needs of the guests were being met. But Jesus comes alongside Martha when she voices her protest, and He uses Mary as an example of someone who is choosing to avoid those distractions in order to be present with Jesus in that time. When in the presence of God, it will be revealed to you that all you have done and all that you can have can be used for the mission of the kingdom. Now, I can speak a little bit from personal experience here because it was nearly 4 years ago, that I was sitting in a quiet cafeteria at Elizabethtown College, minding my own business, when I was immediately transported, figuratively, to a place where I could see all of my experiences in life as a volunteer praise and worship leader, as a classroom teacher, as a professor, and a member of a church. All of these experiences lined up in like flashbulb memories. And for reasons that I can't yet explain, I believed in that moment that God was calling me to do something more in ministry. And as that thought came to my mind, I was scared out of my mind. How could I possibly do that? I didn't have the time. I didn't have the resources. I was afraid of all the things that could happen that could go wrong. I didn't think I could ever measure up to the mark of what it meant to be a pastor, to stand in front of people, to deliver God's word. And in that moment, when the fear reached fever pitch, I heard a voice say, "Everything you have is everything you will need." See, you never know how God's going to use the things that we do every single day, the conditions and situations that we're living in, to shape us for something greater that He has planned for us. I'm still praying, and I'm seeing evidence of it, of how God's going to use the conditions that we're living in right now to absolutely transform the world and communities that we live in today. I don't know what it is, but I hope you can believe it with me, that what we're going through right now is going to have some tremendous impact in the lives of so many people going forward. The grit and the resilience and the grace that we're now wearing, I hope that has a really big payoff, and I believe that it will, for the kingdom of heaven going forward. Because here's the cool thing. While we are challenged and while we are shaped in the presence of God, we are also redeemed. Perhaps the greatest distraction of all are the lies that we tell ourselves that say that we will never be good enough, that we'll never be smart enough, that we'll never be tall enough or good enough. That in the grand cosmic composition of the universe, we think somehow that we're never going to stack up, that we will never be enough. If you remember nothing from the time that we have spent together today, please remember this. Please remember this. You are enough. You are enough. When the time came for Jesus to come to earth, I have this belief, sincere belief, that he looked down and he saw everything that had happened from creation to the time that he would arrive. And that he also saw everything that would happen after his resurrection. I believe he saw you. And I believe he saw me. And as the weight of all of that would have been weighing down on him, he still carried it with him on the cross. He died for you, and he died for me. So all this nonsense about how we distract ourselves with the fact that, oh, I can never do that, oh, I will never be good enough. He died for you, okay? He believes you are good enough for the kingdom. I think if we could... to borrow a 2020-2021 reference. I think if we could zoom, literally, with a computer, into Martha's living room at that time, I think Martha would have a lot to say to us. I think she would have some points to share with us. I think that she'd probably tell us we could probably fill our calendars up with things that are really important. We could probably make long to-do lists, and we could probably fill out our strategic plans with so many, many things. But there's only really one thing that matters. When Jesus comes, be present. Be present. And prioritize that presence in your lives. For when we do, as we are challenged, as we are shaped, as we are redeemed, Christ is building in us the peace, the hope, the joy, the love, the endurance that we can share with others in our communities and in our daily lives, wherever we go. That is who we are. That is who we are called to be. May we be present in his presence. At this time, I'd invite our musicians to come forward, and I'll close us with a time of prayer before our final song. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the love that you share. Lord, as a people, I pray that we are committing our energy, our time, our love, and our attention to you. For it is in you we find all. Lord, we thank you for your word, for this community of believers, for this time that we could share together, for smiling faces, though they may be masked. It is your joy that shines through all things. These things we pray in your heavenly gracious name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. Would you please rise and join with me as we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for the return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Friends, you have proclaimed the word of God with your hearts. You have sung it with your lips. Now go forth into this great wide world knowing the truth, that Jesus Christ is alive and he is working in you. Amen. Be blessed this week. Thank you for coming to the Columbia United Methodist Church.